Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Keith Walsh Podcast. My name is Keith Walsh. I'm on my own today. No Mike. He's working this weekend. And I was doing a bit of journaling, which is something I do every day. I try to do every day. And I thought, maybe I'll just record what I'd normally journal about and see if that made, you know, any sense, first of all. And, and also any, well, if it made a podcast, I suppose. So, put on a bit of music. I'm listening to 1950s bar ambience. Not bar ambulance. Different thing altogether. Jazz noir music. So it's just the atmos of a 1950s bar. There's a bit of music. Someone lighting cigarettes. Someone fixing up a cocktail there. It's beautiful. There's a lighter. Someone smoking on a big doobie. Possibly a cigar, I don't know. But, yeah. How are you doing? I hope you're well. I've been... I'm not going to say I've been struggling, because I think the one thing I've discovered over the last few years is that it's not about... You know, it is a struggle. Things are a struggle. Life is a struggle. And it's not supposed to be like that. It's just about, you know, equipping yourself with the means to enjoy the struggle as much as you can. So, and I don't think that's too maudlin or sad. It's just like it's almost, there are times when I just think this is exciting. This is, you know, even though my life is quite mundane and safe and all that kind of stuff, and I'm very lucky and privileged in a lot of ways, you know, it's just the struggle. It's the inner struggle, isn't it? It's like with yourself, with your moods, with your thoughts, with your, you know, waking up on a random day and being like, what the why am I feeling like this? What am I'd like to be happy today. Thank you very much. This is not what I ordered. I went to bed early, took my vitamins, I journaled, I meditated, I did some exercise, I didn't eat any processed food, I didn't drink any alcohol, I didn't drink any caffeine, I don't take any dairy, I want to be happy today, please, that's what I signed up for. So, it's, those days are perplexing, and especially the last week or two, I've been really, I can only think of using the word struggling, but I haven't been struggling in that, like, just with myself, with my mood. I was in a shop today. Now, this could be part of my condition, whatever my condition is. I think everybody's got a condition. But I went to a shop today with my son. Sports shop, big, loud, bright, buying things. That seems to hit me somewhere that I don't like. I don't feel comfortable. I was in that shop and I was trying to show enthusiasm for You know, the stuff my son was looking at, he was showing me football boots, football gear, and I was like, oh yeah, very nice, okay, good, yeah, okay, can we get the fuck out of here? Not saying it to him, but in my head, like, can we get the fuck out of here? I don't like this. I'm not enjoying this. This is not fun for me. But I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna fake enthusiasm. I'm gonna show interest and be like, oh yeah, okay, they're nice, oh they're really good, oh wow, boots, €300 for a pair of boots, that's mad, isn't it? We'd gone in to get some Under Armour and stuff, but I had a moment in that shop where I was just looking, staring at something, and I was going, is this gonna be my mood for the day today? It's Saturday, I don't want to feel like this for the rest of the day. I want to feel like, hey, it's Saturday, woohoo, happy. Not whatever, I don't know, I suppose sad is a word I would use now for how I was feeling. Uncomfortable in my own skin, a lump in my throat, no, disinterested in what anyone else has to say. Jesus, that doesn't sound good, does it? But present and having conversations and doing, you know, picking up the stuff, going to the cash register, getting all that done. And I wonder, is it helpful to be so self-reflective, to really overthink all of this stuff? I had the opposite feeling last night. I got out to play football, came home, had a shower about 9 o'clock, half past 9, sat down with some food, and we were watching the Late Late Show, and I felt like I flicked over at one point from the Late Late Show to watch. My wife had started dozing on the couch, so I was just flicking around, and I put on Lionel Richie at the BBC, and he was singing this song that I recognised. I think it's called True Love. And I really loved it. I can't describe. I felt like I was buzzing. I was like, oh my god, this is like, it's just a guy from the Commodores on a piano singing a song. But it was beautiful. It was vibrant. It was making me feel good. I was just sitting there going, this is, it was like that feeling I used to get, like, after having a few beers and just sitting there and watching TV, and maybe you might be watching Jules Holland and a band comes on and they're like really great, and you're just like, yeah, this is the life. I'm sitting here having a beer, music is good, I feel good. That's how I felt last night. I was like, wow, I'm buzzing here, just sitting on my couch like an old man with a blanket over my leg, both legs, blanket over my legs, watching the telly, and nothing exciting, just I had this rush of, I wouldn't say euphoria, but I wouldn't say ecstasy, but I'd say an ecstatic feeling of just joy. So, you know, I suppose I fully expected to. I was like, it's Friday. Did a good day's work. Did a good week's work. Had a lot on. Ticked a lot of boxes. Got through a lot of stuff. It's Friday. This is how I'm going to feel for the whole weekend. This is great. Wonderful. Woo! Here we go, weekend. Then I got up this morning and, actually, you know what happened? I think this is, we're definitely overanalyzing this shit, but anyway, here we go. In for a penny, in for a pound. I stayed up too late last night, I think. Oh my god, listen to me. I stayed up till like 1, half 1, 2 o'clock. Probably tired this morning. Didn't really feel like getting out of bed. Woke up at 7:30. The dog wanted to go out. Let the dog out. He was pissing around outside, miserable. It felt okay when I got up initially, went back to bed, slept till about, dozed till 9:30, which is, that is like the best, isn't it? I didn't have anywhere to be. Finn, my son, didn't have a football match. Anna was having a lie-in. Suzanne was having a lie-in. Nobody had to be anywhere, and just lay in bed, and I dozed until 9:30. And it was just, should have been just that, yeah, but it was like, My wife got up to meet her parents for coffee. At that point, I probably should have got up and joined her, but I didn't feel like it. Didn't feel like, what, making small talk, having coffee. I don't know. I felt like staying in bed. So, that's what I did. I stayed in bed. And when I stay in bed, a guilt comes over me. That's obviously my go-to thing, guilt. A guilt comes over me, and I fight it. I'm like, no, it's Saturday. I should be entitled to just lie here in bed and scroll through my phone and read a few articles and just be lazy. But then I have the other side of, I have the guy on each shoulder. One guy saying, come on, Keith. You gotta get up, you lazy asshole. He doesn't speak like that. He doesn't speak with a shit American accent. But the guy on one shoulder saying, get up. What are you doing? You're lazy. It's like 11:30. Your wife has gone out for coffee. You should have gone with her. That's your first mistake. Your second mistake is you're still in bed. Third thing, the house needs to be cleaned. Fourth thing, and you're going through the list of things you should be doing. You should be out exercising. You should be out for a walk. You should be up meditating. You should be doing your journal. Why are you just lying here in bed scrolling on your phone? You worthless piece of shit. And, oh God. And then I have the other guy on my shoulder going, oh, you deserve this. You've worked hard. You know? What was the point of investing money in a house, and a bed, and going to work every day if it wasn't to enjoy these moments on a Saturday where you just get to lie there? So, like, that's not enjoyable for me, for either of the guys on either shoulder. No one's having a good time. Because I'm trying to lie there, trying to relax and be lazy, and I also have this inner dialogue going on. So eventually I get up, have a shower, get some food, decide I'll eat fruit. I'll eat fruit for breakfast. Have a couple of oranges, chop up a kiwi, eat some apple, make some fruit for my son. I make a smoothie, a bit of peanut butter, a little bit of protein. If I don't have enough protein, I crave things, you know. Bit of protein, some frozen fruit. Almond milk, blitz it up, sip away on that, bit of porridge as well, some oats, and I'm doing the right things. I mean, I'm up, I'm showered, I'm doing the right things. Myself and Finn are going out to the shops, I'm having my smoothie, but I'm just not feeling it, you know. I haven't meditated yet at this point, I haven't journaled yet at this point, I haven't been out for a walk yet at this point. And of course, in my head, I'm like, maybe if I'd gone up and gone, got up at 6 o'clock and gone for a run or a walk or something, maybe I'd feel better. That's what's wrong with you. You should have got up, gone out, gone for a walk. And then you'd feel better. Bet you're sorry now. Anyway, you keep going though, don't you? You're hopeful. It's the hope. It's the hope that kills you. My son needed some gear, football gear, some Under Armour, so we went to the shops. And, yeah, that's where I was then, in the shop, standing there going, oh my God. The mood I feel like it might be the shop, that environment. Can't quite put my finger on it. But as I said, maybe I overanalyze. I couldn't quite figure out where the mood came from, at what point it started. Who had said what to me that made me feel grumpy? That made me feel sad? That made me feel like, well, ultimately that I don't like this mood. And I was like, this can't be it for the rest of the day. I'm not having it. I wish I was here to tell you. And you know what I did then? You know what I did? I'm just putting it out there. I'm hoping someone will email me and go, Keith, this is what's going on with you. ADD is a thing I think about a lot. ADHD. I read a bit about it. We have someone in the family who was recently diagnosed with ADD. And apparently it's generic, is it? Passed on. So I do feel sometimes there's something, there's got to be something going on. Or it's just that, as I said, I overanalyze these things. But this was definitely a week where I was questioning my own choices and my own ability to make the best choices for myself. Because if I go back past 2 years ago, I don't drink, I haven't been drinking for 2 years, but even before that, I got into fitness, and that was a thing, fitness, running marathons. And this was, I suppose ultimately, if I go back further, it was trying to deal with an anxiety I had about, well, just a general anxiety in life. I had blockage, I didn't know, I suppose retrospectively now, I look back and I think I was just blocked. You know, I'd always have a sort of a pressure in my chest, a lump in my throat, or that lump in your throat feeling, but it's in your head. Does that make sense? And anxiety has been something that I've had from, I can remember having a panic attack, and it was only a small panic attack, but that was the first time I felt, I didn't know at the time, but looking back I go, that's what that was. I couldn't get the buttons open on my coat or the zip open on my coat in the cloakroom in school, and I was going to be late for class, and I had a particularly unsympathetic teacher that time, that year, but I couldn't get the zip open. Everybody else had gone into class, I was left standing there, and I had a panic. I don't know how long I was, probably wasn't even there that long. I eventually, you know, in my panic, just pulled the coat off my head and got into class, and probably just in time before it was that point where you'd be in trouble. But that was my first, that's me looking back going, okay, I was obviously anxious, I was obviously nervous, anxious. That was, I had anxiety. I can remember being a teenager and my head used to itch, I used to sweat and my head would itch, and it would happen a lot when I was with adults, you know, if I met adults I didn't know that well, or adults, even adults I kind of knew, but I just didn't feel comfortable around certain people, mostly adult people, and my head would itch, I would be awkward, I'd feel kind of like I couldn't control my body, like I was almost like jerky, a little bit, things were jerking, but at the time you just feel this is what it's like, this is what growing up is like, this is fine. But I always felt that anxiousness and that awkwardness, and then I think that for me was when I drank, when I started drinking. I didn't really drink. I was talking to a guy the other week, last year in the week actually, he was talking about drinking, and he said he started drinking when he was 12. I started drinking fairly late, like I was 18 or something, 17, 15, maybe. I don't know, going back now, definitely 17 I'd say. Definitely 18 by the time I started drinking. 18, 19, 20 when I started drinking heavily. And I loved drink and the feeling drink gave me, because I felt comfortable around people. It gave me a break from whatever anxiety I had, whatever was going on in my own head. It was like a sweet release. Oh, sweet release. And, yeah. Booze gave me the release, that feeling. And I drank. Obviously, what was I going to say? I drank then for, you know, the next almost 30 years. But obviously with the drink, with the drinking comes hangovers, and then it's a depressant. Is that the right word? Depressant. So you're, you know, a lot of people describe it as alcohol as like, you know, drinking is throwing petrol onto your onto the fire of your anxiety or something like that. I don't think I got that right, but anyway, it's like throwing petrol on your anxiety. So that means you kind of have to drink more. Or what I would do is not necessarily drink more, like but I would look forward to it. And then the weekends would come and it would be like, yeah. First couple of beers, first beer, first glass of wine, whatever it was, would just be like, yeah. And then Saturdays, Fridays, you'd looking at the clock thinking, oh, okay. What time can I have my first drink? Saturdays then, same, you'd be just getting through the day. You'd have a bit of a fuzzy head from Friday, but you'd be up and about, doing whatever you had to do, fighting against the shitness of the hangover, because you knew that at the end of the evening you could have a drink and at 6 o'clock, or, you know, maybe if there was a wedding on that Saturday, that'd be cool. You're just going to drink all day. But then came Sunday. And you couldn't drink because you had to work on Monday. You wouldn't be able to sleep on Sunday night because, I don't know if everybody's like this, but that's what alcohol did to me. The anxiety was such that, and I probably messed up my sleeping patterns in a way that, like, Sunday night I couldn't sleep. I'd pretty much stay awake. My heart racing. Probably quite warm, maybe sweating, thinking about getting up the next day. And a lot of Mondays I would have just had, you know, if anything, 1 or 2 hours sleep and then gone straight into work. And Monday was a kind of a, then you're dealing with the shitty feeling of only drinking on Friday and Saturday, but, you know, just, I felt like it hit me hard. But the way I dealt with it was like, well, I don't make any decisions on Monday, I just get through the day on Monday, I just get through, just do the job, do my best. But it was fucking, it wasn't pleasant. Anyway, that was, I got sidetracked, I think. That's kind of my journey with alcohol. And I haven't drank in 2 years. But other things I haven't done, I gave up alcohol. I gave up caffeine maybe 4 years ago. Caffeine because of my anxiety as well. I mean, look, alcohol was going to be the last thing I gave up. Before that, I tried everything, keeping fit. That was for the anxiety. That's where I started, actually, yeah. Going to the gym, running, all that kind of stuff. Running away from everything. That's what I was doing. I sometimes see people out the road and I think, what are you running away from? But maybe they're not. That was just me. Gym. Make sure you're fit. Got into sort of eating well. Gave up caffeine. Surely if I give up caffeine, that's going to help with the anxiety. Did a little bit, but not hugely. Vegan, I went vegan, stopped eating meat, stopped eating dairy, stopped. I was like, I'm only going to put good stuff into my body. I'm only going to, apart from booze, I was still drinking, but no caffeine, no dairy, no meat, exercising, all that kind of stuff. And then I started therapy. And I think that kind of loosened a few things up, or made me certainly think about a few things differently, or consider stuff in a different way. And I never intended really to give up drinking. I never really wanted to give up drinking because it was like my one thing. I was like, well, that's, I'll be really healthy, really fit. I'll eat well. I'll exercise, all that kind of stuff, so that I can keep drinking, because that was the one thing that I felt was. It was good. It was a good laugh. And what I was trying to do was make sure, minimize the hangover, minimize the after effects of the alcohol. So that was why I didn't drink coffee, and I didn't. And I was, you know, I'd go to the gym on Monday, go for a walk Sunday, all that kind of stuff to minimize the effects. So allow me to drink, to keep drinking. And I think eventually through therapy. Yeah, I just gave up the booze. And so, as I said, like, that's been 2 years ago. So my question is to myself, what the fuck is going on? Why isn't this working? Or is it working? Because what I'm trying to do is see, and maybe that's my mistake, I'm still trying to see what the progress is. What have I achieved? What has given up all this stuff meant to me in a sort of a, in, you know, a list of achievements or things or happy, like, how many days do I feel happy? How many days do I feel sad? And maybe it's just that, well, that's just life, and moods are just moods, and everyone has their triggers, and, you know, with alcohol, that just was just, you know, fuel to the fire. So without that, it's all a lot clearer. I'm more in tune with my moods. But on top of giving up the alcohol, then I journal every day and I meditate every day, maybe twice a day some days. And I feel like I should be happier more. And that's maybe my mistake, because maybe I should just be happy being content. But then I'm not content if I'm standing in a shop going, this is shit, I feel like shit, I hope I don't feel like this for the rest of the day, because that's fucking a waste of a Saturday. I don't want to feel like this. It's Saturday, my God. So then I'm putting pressure on myself to feel differently. And this is all the stuff. I mean, I'm just saying all this because this is all the stuff that goes on in my head all the time, and I'm just saying it out loud because what the conversation you have with the people around you and what's going on outwardly can be completely different. But then you just always have this narrative going on of, how am I feeling now? What's that? Is that a little glimpse of happiness? A little... is that a bit of sadness creeping in there? Overthinking it, you know? And then that's why sometimes I think, what's it all about? What's the point? Maybe I should drink. Maybe I should... I didn't, you know, I'd be like, well, I only drank the weekends. It's not like I drank all the time. It's not like I had, an inverted commas, a problem. That's the way your mind works, though, and that's when you start thinking. How has all of the changes I've made to my life, therapy, the drinking, the not drinking, which I keep talking about, and I'm really aware of that as well, that I'm just talking. I'm talking about it, but that's, I think about it a lot. Things I've given up, maybe I, you know, there's times where you say, well, let's just go back to the way I was, where I just like, was it that much different? Like, if I was sad on a Monday because I drank at the weekend, well, today's Saturday, I'm sad anyway, so, you know, what gives? But then I do have much more time in the week. Like, I have, obviously, I have time to do this. I've started to do a little bit of stand-up comedy. And when I say started to do, I've done it once. The end of December. And I'm due to do it again in a couple of weeks. But I started it in that, like, I write things. I'm loath to say I write jokes, but I write stuff down. I have... so I kind of have that as a project going on. I've signed up for some open mic spots and I'm writing. So even though I'm not like gigging, I'm in the process of putting together, I think what they call it in the business is a tight five or a tight 10, where you've got 10 minutes that you can do, which is funny, which you're happy with. And then you build on that. And that's kind of a project that I have going on, that is something I've always wanted to do. And this is where then I have to remind myself, when I drank, I talked a lot about, especially after a few beers, I'd be like, oh man, I really want to do stand-up comedy. And, you know, in that moment, after a few years, I'm like, yeah, I should do it. Why wouldn't I? Fucking, you know, because everything, whatever the alcohol does, it aligns some of your chakras in a way that gives you courage and belief in yourself and all that kind of stuff. And then you go, yeah, I'm gonna do it. And you could even write stuff down. You could sit down and say, I'll have some wine and I'll write some jokes and it's all good. Problem is, when you sober up, you look back and you go, no, that was stupid. Everything about that was stupid. Because you've got that hangover, fear, embarrassment, whatever it is. And that was the cycle. I've broken that cycle. So the cycle was that you'd have good ideas, you'd have thoughts, you'd have, you know, once you got out through Monday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday, as the week went on, Wednesday, Thursday, you'd start building up a bit of momentum. You're like, yes, I believe in myself again. I will do the things I want to do. I'll write a play. I will do this. Friday hits, yeah, you're feeling, you're buzzing, you're having a drink, it's all good. But comes Sunday, Monday, you're right back to square one and you haven't really made any progress, and any progress you have made, you're embarrassed about because you've got the fear. So you start, so that's the cycle. Whereas now what I have to say to myself is, and this is me measuring how I am, by the things that I'm doing and the things I'm achieving, which probably isn't very healthy, rather than just living. Am I living in the moment? Am I living for tomorrow? Am I living for today? I don't know anymore. But that's one of the things I have. I have that project ongoing. I have other things that I have that I'm working on as well. I have my job that I work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. I have this podcast that I do with Mike, which is great. You know, but these are things that I've managed to start doing and keep doing. So that's one of the benefits. And they bring me joy as well. I'm happy when I'm doing, I'm happy when I'm recording a podcast, I'm happy when I'm thinking about comedy. I mean, I still have moments where I think, oh, that's oh god. See, I still have those moments where I'm like, well, this is a stupid idea. The fuck you. That's not funny. You're not funny. There's no... Why are you even trying? Why are you doing this? Give up. You're nearly 50, goddammit. Cough on. Get a life. But anyway, obviously I overcome that because there's slow progress, but there's always progress. There's always a next step. There's always I can always look back and go, oh, I've done that. I've made that. I've taken that step. I've done that. I've done the bit of stand up, and now I'm already booked into the next bit of stand up, and then I'm booked into do the next bit of stand up after that. So I have things that I have, I suppose, a pathway that I've forged that, you know, I'll do those things. Those things are happening. I've got a goal. I've got to write some bits because I've got to stand up on a stage in a week, and then after that, I've got to stand up on a stage in 2 weeks. So I have to write stuff. I have to do. So that's good. That's a positive. It's something I've always wanted to do, and now it's happening. Another with the fitness things and gym thing, I kind of got sick of the gym. I think I'll go back to the gym, but I was just done with the gym. So one of the things I try and do now is just do more of the things I enjoy, and one of the things I enjoy is like, I got my guitar strung up. I bought new strings for it. I play that the odd time now. Yeah, one of the things I've always enjoyed is playing football. So now I play, instead of going to the gym 3 times, 4 times a week, I play football 3 times a week. And then I walk, and then I cycle, and, you know, I try and enjoy cycling. I enjoy going into work on the train. I cycle and jump on the train, and that's all. good. So when it's good, it's when I look at it in the cold light of day, when I'm in a good mood and when everything's sort of, when all the synapses are firing, I'm like, yeah, this is great. I like to jump on my bike, cycle to the train station, jump on the train, do a little bit of writing for my comedy, go into work, do a little bit of work, have a few meetings, go for lunch, come up with some ideas, get on the cycle to the train, get on the train, cycle home, go play football, then hang out with my family for the evening, and life is good, you know. So that's, on the face of it, it's all good. And then I know that, like, my main reason for doing this is just to sort of like almost like talk myself. This is talk therapy, so thank you very much for being my therapist if you're still listening. But kind of talk myself out of the mood, the funk I had found myself in today. And I think I find talking helps. It's clearly therapeutic, because that's ultimately what talk therapy is. It's just talking about things, getting it off your chest, which is a very good phrase, isn't it? Getting off your chest, because that's where you feel. You feel the heaviness in your chest, and then you feel better once you've talked it out. And I'm even getting to the point now where I'm like, what was I talking about? What am I talking? Why am I here? It's almost like I've had a fever dream. A fever dream where I've decided to turn on my microphone, turn the machine to record, and start talking. And now I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Whose shoes are these? What room am I in? How did I get here? It's kind of like a night out when you wake up the next morning. You're like, what the hell happened last night? Or you wake up in the bed and you're not sure what bed it is. You wake up on the sofa somewhere and you're like, what the hell happened last night? And where am I? That's how I feel now. Or my greatest. It was a source of embarrassment for a while. I don't feel embarrassed about it now, but my famous drinking story around these parts is the time I went to do an event and there was drink involved, and the people I was doing the event for had booked a hotel for me, so I checked into the hotel, got spruced up, went and did the event. There was drink involved. The drinking continued into the evening. At some point in the early hours of the morning, I arrived at the door. The taxi driver was helping me to my door. I rang the door when my wife answered. And she was like, what the hell are you doing here? I was like, well, I'm home. I made it home. I was like, in my head, I was delighted. My phone was in my pocket. I'd made it home. Obviously, very drunk. And she was like, you booked a room in a hotel. Your car is in Dublin. All your stuff is in the hotel room. I was like, hey, what hotel room? What are you talking about? Went to bed, got up, woke up a few hours later. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell have I done? And I think I've spoken about this before, but you've never felt the fear like the fear of being driven back up to Dublin by your wife to go and collect your car and your clothes. Because you'd go into the hotel and you'd say, oh, I was supposed to be staying here last night and I didn't. I forgot. Can I go into the room and collect my belongings? There's all that fear of making your wife drive you back up to Dublin, facing the people in the hotel, collecting up your stuff, getting in your car, driving yourself home. And the only thing for it then is if a few beers that evening to just take the edge of the fear and the embarrassment off. So I don't miss that. I don't miss those events and occasions. And I'm sure there's worse things people have done while drinking, but that to me was a source of extreme shame and embarrassment. I laughed it off. That's what you do. Now I'm fine with it. I've made peace with it. Just one of those crazy things. Yeah, don't drink, kids. Especially if you're supposed to be staying in a hotel room and you forget about it. That's not good. Either way, where am I now? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I answered anything. If there's a conclusion. Maybe there doesn't have to be a conclusion. Now I have to go away and decide whether I actually put this up as a podcast, because ultimately it's me just talking nonsense into a mic, which is good, and I obviously get some enjoyment out of it. I'm not sure anybody else would get any enjoyment, or whether it would be of interest to anybody else. The inner workings of my mind. Maybe it would. Maybe someone will listen to this and go, shit, I'm like that. That's made me feel better. I'm not the only one. I'd love to be able to say, I have this Instagram thing going called 100 Days of No Booze, where these people have taken on this challenge to not drink for 100 days. And I just have to let Charlie out. Just listen to the music there for a second. Charlie, my dog. I just have to let him out. He's at the door. He's fine. He doesn't think. He doesn't know about booze. He doesn't know about anxiety. Or maybe he doesn't know about anxiety. He's got a sore leg at the moment, so maybe he's not fine. Yeah, so we have this 100 Days of No Booze. People taking on this challenge. And what I really want to be able to say is, like, oh, man, life is just... Like, I really thought that giving up booze would just be the thing. That's, like, that would just turn a switch and everything. Excuse me. Everything would just be great from then on in. And that was the missing... That was the thing I was... That was the... And I suppose things are better. But then I'm worried... I wonder, am I so in tune with everything that I'm just... I'm like, hang on. I'm not feeling really happy. Hang on, I'm feeling a little bit sad. Maybe it's too much for me. Maybe I need to look into the... ADD medication. Or maybe I should try and get a diagnosis first and stop diagnosing myself. Anyway, I'd love to be able to say that. Give up the booze. Go to therapy. You'll feel brilliant for the rest of your life every day. What can I say? You won't. But I think you will feel better. I think you'll make better. I think I make better choices. You know? I tell you what. I have more money. I don't have a lot of money, but I have more money. I used to spend a lot of money on drink. I realised that. Now, I just finance my daughter so she can drink when she's in college. So I'm still involved in the booze business, but not directly. I'm a facilitator. I'm a pusher. If my wife... if my wife goes, wants, is meeting the girls, they're like, I'll drive you. You can have a drink. I'm basically a... A drink pusher. I'll collect you, don't worry. My daughter wants to go out, I'll send her some money on Revolut. I have a few drinks on me. I don't need the money, I don't drink anymore. So, I've become... poacher turned gamekeeper. Something like that. Hey, the good news for the booze business is I'm still involved in the booze business. You haven't left me, guys. Still out there helping out, helping the cause. Anyway, I have more money, I make better choices, I generally feel better, I sleep better. That's got to be good. It's got to be good for my health. It means I'll probably live till about, you know, 120, which is good. And maybe my conclusion is maybe I'm just more in tune with those moments where I don't feel... I'll tell you what it is. When I don't feel... When I'm feeling down or feeling sad or feel angry, I don't take it out on anybody. I try not to take it out on anybody else. Whereas before, I would have said, you are making me annoyed and you are the problem and I'm going to have an argument with you about it. Now I'm like, this is how I'm feeling. Okay, And then it will allow me to say to my son or my wife or my daughter, listen, maybe don't talk to me for the next hour or so. I'm not in that mood. I'm feeling a bit down. Feeling a bit sad. I'm just going to go for a walk. I'm just going to take myself off upstairs for a little while. I'll just take myself away from the happy family circle, take myself out of the circle so that I don't ruin everybody else's buzz. So that is a good thing. Okay. There's some positives. I will leave this conversation here with some positives for myself. If you are still listening, fair play. I will have a podcast with Mike. A more jovial, more fun-filled podcast with Mike. Very soon. He's working this weekend, so hopefully next weekend or during the week we'll record something. And in the meantime, you mind yourself. If you want to email, you can email keithwalshpod@gmail.com. Tell me if you actually got to the end of this podcast and if you actually, you know, if it was of any benefit at all. Because at this point, I just feel like if I do put it up, it's probably only benefited me. But listen, if you did listen to the end, thanks for listening. Mind yourself. And know that you are not alone. Keep the faith. That's what I'm trying to do. Keep the faith. Good luck. Thanks, barman. He just lit up my cigar.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.